You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, June the 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me will be Pastor Mark Smith as we take a look at the hymn, Evening and Morning, in 1600, well, the 17th century. Paul Gerhardt, who died in 1676, is considered the greatest German hymn writer of the 17th century. He had difficult times in his life, due mostly to the 30 Years' War, which ended in 1648, and gave him vast resources to use in his hymn writing. This hymn continues to serve as a source of comfort in hard times and a means of praise for Christians. The hymn has been described as a splendid hymn of our poet, golden as the sun, going forth in his beauty, full of force, and a blessed peace in the Lord, full of sparkling thoughts about God. Several poets have translated the hymn. This includes the translation, "The Golden Sunbeams with Their Joyous Gleams," by Catherine Winkworth, who died in 1855. But by far the most popular and theologically most accurate translation is Richard Massey's Evening and Morning from 1857. This hymn is also Hymn of the Day for Proper 7, which is this coming Sunday. So, without further ado, let's talk with Pastor Mark Smith. Pastor Mark Smith, do you use this hymn very often?
No, I have to tell you, Tom, I'm not as familiar with this hymn as I'd like to be. I really would like to hear the melody of it. The words are great, of course, very comforting, and you know, Paul Gerhardt, he's hard to beat. As you said, he underwent many difficulties, particularly during the 30 Years' War. I think he lost a lot of members of his family. And I'm sure it's a great hymn. I just wish I knew the melody of it.
What is at the top of the page?
Trust.
What category it's found?
Trust. Which is, trust is a very comforting category.
Yes. So, without further ado, why don't you do verse 1?
Okay. Evening and morning, sunset and dawning, wealth, peace, and gladness, comfort in sadness, these are thy works, all the glory be thine. Times without number, awake or in slumber, thine eye observes us, from danger preserves us, causing thy mercy upon us to shine.
So, how is evening and morning, etc., the works of God?
Well, it's all, it's all his doing. Evening and morning, sunset and dawning. I mean, all of these things are blessings that he gives us. Everything is under his creatorship and his providence.
Yes. And particularly I like the phrase, comfort in sadness.
Yes. Yes.
Now, where does that comfort come from?
Well, the gospel, of course, comfort and sadness, even in time of sadness, we know that all things will work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And, you know, as I often share with fellow Christians that, you know, no matter how bad things appear to be in the world today, in our everyday life, although there may be no guarantees about everyday things lasting forever, nevertheless, we know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church, of which we are a precious part. So, comfort and sadness.
Yes. Now, there's a phrase, times without number. What does that mean?
I would say that all of the times that he gives us, events in our lives that we even forget about.
Or, according to the next phrase, awake or in slumber.
In slumber. I mean, even when we're sleeping, he's watching over us.
Yes. Thine eye observes us. And what does he preserve us from?
From danger.
Yes. Causing what to shine on us?
Causing your mercy, O Lord, upon us to shine.
Yes. Mercy. Oh boy, here we go again.
Yeah, I'm ready for you. Not getting what you deserve.
Yes. Not getting what you deserve.
That's mercy.
So, what is one of the things that we do get that we don't deserve?
We get grace.
Yes. And specifically, the forgiveness of sins.
Forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. Absolutely. We don't deserve any of that, but we get it. Thanks be to our Lord. And his son.
Okay, would you do stanza two?
Gladly. Father, hear me. Pardon and spare me. Calm all my terrors. Blot out my errors, that by thine eyes they may no more be scanned. Order my goings. Direct all my doings. As it may please thee, retain or release me. All I commit to thy fatherly hand.
Now, I often make the point that God uses metaphors in order to help us to understand. Sometimes it's in the form of parables, etc. But in this verse, blot out my errors. What does that mean, to blot out?
Forgive my sins.
Yes.
Remember my sins no more. I think that's what he means when he says, blot out my errors, that by thine eyes they may no more be scanned. There's that passage, remember my sins no more.
Yes.
He tells us he will remember our sins no more.
Now, does that mean that God forgets them?
Well, that's kind of a tricky question, Tom. He tells us he will remember our sins no more. It's not that he isn't omniscient and all-knowing, but as far as our guilt is concerned, he's not going to hold us to account for our sins.
Excellent. Yeah, that's the point. We are no longer held accountable. He does not forget our sins in the sense that they are in his mind, but he forgets them in that he does not hold us accountable for them.
Right.
And so, blot out my errors. What do we blot out in our world? When do you use that word?
Oh, well, You know, there used to be correction fluid that we used in the old typewriters, remember?
That's right.
Yeah. Don't do that anymore now with computers and word processing, but we used a lot of correction fluid and blotting out our errors that way. Or sometimes, sometimes I wanted to change a date on something, on a document. I just cover up the old date.
Yeah.
And make it new. Bring it up to date.
Did you notice who this verse is talking to?
Yes, Father. Father. Now, I wondered about that. Is it addressing God the Father, or is he speaking, you know, Jesus says, I and the Father are one? I took it more to mean he's addressing the Godhead. I think don't you think he's addressing Jesus and the Holy Spirit as well as God the Father?
Not really.
I and the Father are one.
That's true, but it's God the Father who gives the mission to Jesus.
Right.
And so we're asking him to hear us. When do we do that in the Lord's Prayer?
Let's see. I'm trying to think now. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us
this day. That's almost what this verse is doing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
So I don't have a problem with this speaking about God the Father. But then when you get down into the verse, that by thine eyes they may no more be scanned. Those would be also because of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh, right. That's right.
And direct all my doings.
Yes.
As it may please thee. That sounds like it's pretty close to Romans 8:28.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All things work together for our good.
Right. All things work together to them that love God. Right.
Then retain or release me.
That's a question I had as I was thinking about this. Now, I don't think he's talking about forgiveness of sins, retain, in other words, deny forgiveness or release me. That would be forgiving. I don't think it's speaking of forgiveness or retaining our sins. I think he's talking there about our obligations or our duties in day-to-day life, our calling, our vocation. In other words, there may come a time in God's infinite wisdom that he releases us from a particular position or calling. Or he may decide to continue to uphold us in that calling or position. What do you think, Tom?
I think that could be accurate because the previous line says, direct all my doings.
Right. That's how I took it. And it wouldn't, to me, it doesn't make sense that we would say, well, if you want to retain my, that's fine. You know, I don't see us praying that to God. Retain or release me. If you want to release me of my sins, that's fine. Or if you want to retain my sins, that's fine with me too. That doesn't seem to jive.
So what are we asking him to retain or release me from? The last line says,
all I commit to thy fatherly hand. Everything. It's all up to him as far as our day-to-day doings and goings.
Okay. All right. I'll read stanza 3. Ills that still grieve me, soon are to leave me. Though billows tower and winds gain power, after the storm, the fair sun shows its face. Joys air increasing and peace never ceasing. These shall I treasure and share in full measure when in his mansions God grants me a place. So when he says that ills soon are to leave me,
right,
what kind of time frame is he talking about?
Well, I think he's talking about as our life winds down and as we near the end of our time here on this earth.
And yet, the next part seems to be in the present.
The right.
Billows tower and winds gain power.
Right.
After the storm, the fair sun shows its face.
Right.
Doesn't that occur in a worship service?
I hadn't thought of that in that way. The winds gain power. After the storm, the fair sun shows its face. I was thinking about the storms and trials of our daily life.
Well, remember, he's talking about the 30 years war.
Right, yeah, absolutely, right. We mustn't forget that.
It ended before he died.
That is right. After the storm, the fair sun shows his face. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you can't forget that he's writing in that context of the 30 years war. And in spite of how bad it gets at time of war, I think he lost a number of his children, if not even his dear wife. And yet he knew that the Lord would see him through that. And after all of the trials and the difficult times of his earthly existence, the fair sun shows its face. In other words, tomorrow's another day, and it's under God's grace.
Who would be referring to as the fair sun?
After the storm, the fair sun shows its face. Was that talking about capital S-O-N, his own dear son, Jesus?
Well, remember, Jesus is compared to the sun.
Right. Yes, that's right.
So I would say that he's talking about the face of Jesus.
Uh-huh, right. Yeah, I think of the benediction, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yes.
Yes. So joys ever increasing, peace never ceasing. So you don't have to wait for that peace till the end of the world.
Right. You've got it. You've got it in the context of word and sacrament.
Excellent. So how do you find that peace in the two sacraments?
In baptism, we always return to the comfort of our baptism. We do that daily. Luther always said, when you make the sign of the cross and morning devotions, you're recalling your baptism. So, and then, of course, whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're reminded that all of our sins are washed away, and that He bestows His precious body and blood for our forgiveness, life, and salvation.
And it says, "These shall I treasure and share in full measure." How do we share it?
With the communion of saints. That's talking here about when we share it in full measure. Isn't he talking there about the new heaven and new earth that awaits us on the last day?
Well, take
heaven
a look at
all
the last line.
When in his mansions, God grants me a place.
Yes. What does Jesus promise? He's going to heaven to what?
To prepare a place for you. he says.
Yeah. And he grants me a place. That certainly shows the difference between law and gospel. We don't get a place because we're rewarded a place.
Yeah, we don't earn it.
Because we're granted a place.
Right, right. It's a gift. It's not something we've earned or deserved. It's a pure gift.
So God is definitely the source of our salvation, whether we speak to him as Father or even as the sun shining. That's God the Father, God the Son. And of course, because it's trusting these things, it's involving God the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Okay, stanza four, please.
To God in heaven, all praise be given. Come, let us offer and gladly proffer to the Creator the gifts he doth prize. He well receiveth a heart that believeth. Hymns that adore him are precious before him, and to his throne like sweet incense arise.
Now, we've got the Father in verse 2, then to God in heaven is verse 4. Is he speaking about the Father again?
You know, I feel the same way about that as I did in verse 2, Tom. Is he talking about God the Father exclusively, or is he also speaking to the whole Godhead there?
Well, he does say, to the Creator,
that is true,
the gifts he doth prize.
Yeah, but, you know, Jesus was there at creation, as was the Holy Spirit, just
well
as well.
Well said.
Yeah.
And so, this would be, I believe, to the entire Trinity.
Uh-huh. Right.
He well receiveth a heart that believeth. Now, is that according to our free will that we believe, or is that also a gift?
He well receiveth a heart that believeth. No, that is a gift. Faith, we believe that we cannot believe without the help of the Holy Spirit. He creates that faith. You know, Tom, I looked up the word proffer. You know, it says, come, let us offer and gladly proffer. Proffer usually has to do with intangible things, is what the dictionary said, at least. I don't, for what it's worth, I don't know if that contributes anything to the discussion or not. But come, let us offer and proffer. Those are very similar meanings, but the dictionary said usually proffer refers to intangible things like friendship or love.
We're to proffer the gifts he doth prize.
Right, right. To the Creator, the gifts he doth prize. What are those gifts? He well receives a heart that believes. And hymns that adore him are precious before him. And to his throne like sweet incense arise.
Yes. I think that's really what we are to proffer him. And particularly hymns. So we get back to worship again.
Right.
And why is worship so important?
Well, actually, you know, worship, it's a divine service. And he's the one that's doing the serving. Actually, we're his guests, and he is serving us. The precious gifts of word and sacrament, the gospel.
Is Jesus mentioned at all in this hymn, specifically?
I find it difficult to say no.
I know.
He's there everywhere.
He is. What is the very last line of the hymn?
And to his throne, like sweet incense, arise.
Yes.
To his throne.
Well, who's on the throne?
Christ.
That's right. So, a wonderful hymn by Paul Gerhardt. We thank Mark Smith for helping us with it. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. Join us tomorrow for another explanation of the differences between law and gospel. Until then, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.